This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
28 to 99. Can it be done?
We certainly hope so. We want to be willing partners in that. And we have a new ability to do this now. Remember, the Supreme Court overturned the Chevron doctrine,
right?
That's a game-changing kind of situation. Not in my lifetime,
yes.
But we had the opportunity to go in and really take back control from the administrative state. For a long time, they've been acting as judge, jury, and executioner on the rules that they make on industries and small business owners and the rest. So we have the ingredients, we have the conditions right now to actually be able to make really dramatic change.
And wants to take government
428 agencies down to 99. Are you kidding me? That is quite a dramatic cut. And that's what DOGE is looking to do with all of those dollars that the federal government is spending from you. Well, let's talk to somebody who was there, was able to take part in this conversation. It's great to have you back on the show, Congressman Bost. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me on.
You're the Congressman for Illinois' 12th District. You're the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. So you do definitely have an interest in how money is spent on behalf of the American people. Let us know what you think of the meeting, the DOGE meeting.
Well, first off, so many times in government that I've been involved, everybody says it ought to be run more like a business. Well, how better than just to bring in two people that have been very, very, very successful in business. And now understand that they're an advisory board the way it is right now. But if they put it out in the public and then we can't do it, then we better be able to explain why we can't do it. So it gives an opportunity for us to springboard to make those reductions because it's very, very tough. Politically, people will want to try to put pressure one way or another, depending on what the agency is or everything that we're trying to do. We're coming up with some really unique ideas, I think, some things that are sensible. Right now, since COVID went away, unfortunately, we still have office buildings that nobody's showing up to. So then the question is, are you doing your job if you're not showing up? And if you're doing it from home, then why do we have a building that we're paying a lease on? Where can we save money there? What programs, regardless of what agency is in, that's in that we're looking for, are successful, are not successful, or just been an opportunity to shuffle money around and keep people employed as federal agents, federal government workforce? And, you know, I mean, the rumors have been out there for years about those post office jobs. Not at your local post office, but they only go to the post office, pick up their check, and go home. So, you know, those are the type of things we've got to look at and try to thin down. And I think going through it with a fine-tooth comb with this group, we will be able to save more than we've ever seen before.
Well, it's very fascinating to watch this take shape. We're speaking with Congressman Mike Bost, Illinois' 12th District Representative in the House of Representatives. I'm looking here in that conversation with Speaker Johnson and Martha McCallum, 428 agencies down to 99 agencies. One of the conversations we've had on this show is, I wonder how much government can be cut before the American taxpayer even notices that government has been cut.
True. When we say we're going to have a government shutdown, and I hate those, I don't think they're wise at all. But when we have the government shutdown, the first day is always the best day of a government shutdown because it takes quite some time to start reaching the average Joe with a government shutdown. Now, if you are in the center of government, that government shutdown affects you pretty quickly. But then there's the question of just right there. What are the agencies that don't really do anything, or they're created just to have an agency? You know, there's one of the big talks is the Department of Education. And you got to remember that we didn't have a Department of Education in the United States until Jimmy Carter made a deal with the teachers unions. And now, was there certain elements of the government that dealt with education? There was, but there was not a Department of Education. And it doesn't have a real good history, regardless of whether it's a Republican or Democrat, as you go through. Why is that? It's because the states do it better and the locals do it better. So just having some agency in D.C. to give recommendations to try to think that if you're educating a child in New York is the same thing as educating a child in O'Fallon.
Yeah,
it's just not. OK. And so these are the type of things we need to look at and become sensibly. Well, understand that the taxpayers. Now, let me tell you, we're going to make sure that we do the things that according to the Constitution, we're supposed to do. One, we have to provide for national defense. OK, wisely provide for national defense. Two, I believe with that, then we need to take care of our veterans wisely, not bureaucrats, but veterans. There's a difference, okay? Three, you know, another agency that's out there, or another thing we have to do by the Constitution is control our borders. So those are the things that you can see that we need to protect. Other than that, interstate commerce, it's required under the Constitution. So you look at that. There's a very few agencies that are actually supposed to be ran by the federal government. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be ran by the states and local governments.
Congressman Boss, this is Ryan Wiggins. As I understand it, DOGE working with Congress is a great thing because we talked last time about how they need, you know, anything spending related. They're going to need to work with you guys, which is why you're talking to them. But concerning personnel, you know, we keep hearing that they're going to slash agencies and get rid of people. Is that something that the president, either through DOGE or with a stroke of a pen, can do on his own? Or is that something he also needs to talk to Congress about?
Yeah, there's some he can do or they can do on their own. First off, they can't do it. They can advise either the administration or Congress to do it. Now, understand, this is kind of like a blue ribbon task force with a little more, well, it has the media power, okay? So, but it's still, Congress has the power of the purse. So if you're going to reduce agencies, cut personnel, everything like that, there are certain administrative rules that the president can do, but many things are going to be required of Congress and individual committees that have oversight over each one of these agencies that might need to be reduced, line items taken out, programs changed or gotten rid of. The list goes on and on.
We're speaking with Congressman Mike Bost right now. Here he is representing the Illinois 12th District, and he is also the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. I'm wondering, Congressman, you know, you work with the veterans, of course, maybe on that level, but also on a broader level. DOGE needs to happen in order to reduce government spending. Is there a place that has been neglected significantly where you see government spending making a remarkable increase with this next Congress?
Well, what I see us not markable increases, I see that we'll make the investment in the border, like I said. I believe that we're going to wisely check over the Department of Defense and the VA. Now, let me explain this so that your listeners don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Not reducing any benefits for the veterans, giving them the quality medical and or veteran services that were guaranteed to them and owed to them because of their time of service. Now, the advantage that also we have is we don't have an administration that wants to block us from getting rid of bureaucracy. And the thing is, the choice for Doug Collins for the secretary and the Senate, I hope, approves very quickly because he and I will be working hand in hand, going through line item together along with DOGE and not reducing, once again, not reducing benefits, but sure reducing over a tremendous amount of waste that does exist in the VA and direct it to the areas where the veterans are.
Another question we have here from somebody who's listening to us here in the St. Louis area says, well, not a question, it's a statement. I would like your reaction to it. When DOGE cuts Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, people will notice. Your thoughts?
Here's my statement on that. That person that just said that was probably a Democrat, because that's the same line Democrats always use when Republicans get in power. First off, Republicans have never cut Social Security or Medicare. I tell you who did cut Medicare. Barack Obama, when he created Obamacare. That is the first time there was ever cuts to any of those services. Now, here's the real statement, though. Do we need to work together in a bipartisan manner to figure out the long term for both of those programs? Because here's the reality. Right now, the actuarials that were put in place when Social Security and Medicare were put in place, the average life expectancy was like 58 years old, 59 years old, which means you were paying in, but you were going to draw. Well, that isn't the case anymore. Now it's like 74 years old, 75, and it's increasing all the time. So what's happening is we're spending more money than we're bringing in, and we put people on Social Security that were never paid in. So what we really need to do is start looking at the long-term cure, because I want to save it for those people who do right now, but I want to save it for my children and grandchildren so there's a program out there that's sensible. But right now what we're doing is it's kind of like the guy that jumped off the top of the Empire State Building. And when he went by past the 30th floor, they said, how's everything going? And he said, great so far. Because one of these days, it's going to hit the ground. And if we don't set together and come together with some solution so that they can have those benefits, all of a sudden, one day, we're going to wake up and go, yep, it's over.
Congressman Voss, this is an interesting way of putting it. So just to be clear here, you're saying that the Republicans who now have the majority in the House, in the Senate, and they have the Oval Office, you're not looking to cut Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. You're looking to preserve it.
We are not looking to cut Medicare or Social Security, which is all under our purview. We are wanting to preserve it because this needs to be preserved to our children and grandchildren and their own. But it needs to be recalculated based on the fact that lives have changed. The amount of time that we work have changed. The amount of time we would spend. You can't draw from Social Security the amount of years that you pay in and then expect it to continue to work. Okay, it's got to be able to have enough time to collect interest.
Congressman Bost, is there anything bigger picture, since we're talking about that now, that you guys, either DOGE is bringing to you or you're talking with them about, that really will significantly reduce national debt, spending, like we haven't seen before? Because we all agree on we need to get, you know, the funding for snails walking backwards on treadmills, right, and stuff. Like that kind of stuff's great.
I do want to see that.
But, okay, we won't cut that one.
But the shrimp running on a treadmill is pretty good.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is the stuff that makes the headlines with Rand Paul and everybody. But is there any big picture, like, no, we really need to address like some big issue spending stuff?
Sure. We need to make sure that look, over 60% of our budget is those areas where it's mandatory spending. Okay, how do we bring the mandatory spending over to and or a place where we still remain mandatory, but make sure that spending is done wisely? The answer is yes, we can, but it's going to take a lot of work. Ooh. And I'm going to tell you, I'm willing to work. Trust me. But it is big. We can talk about the things that you were just talking about. And yes, we can. I don't believe that just in the non-mandatory, I want to work real hard. I don't see us getting the $2 trillion that they said we'd hit. I don't know how you do that on only the non-mandatory side.
Congressman Voss, before we let you go, we appreciate your time as you represent Illinois' 12th district right here on the east side within our listening area here in St. Louis. I've heard people maybe criticize a little bit the Musk, the Ramaswamy non-elected people who are coming in to make some very dramatic changes to our fiscal situation. At least that's the plan. How does this work? How do Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy function in the Democratic Republic that we have?
I'm glad you asked, because here's the reality. As I said, though it's a little stronger than a blue ribbon task force, it's an advisory board. The advisory board does not take the power of the administration nor the power of the Congress. It does not have the ability to handle the purse or the administration thereof. And so, therefore, everything that they give will be advice. Now, the advantage that they have is they have the media and the public's ear to, once they give the advice, if we can't do it, we're going to have to explain why.
Yeah. So the people of Illinois' 12th district still have their voice be heard through your representation.
You're still represented by a member of Congress, and you're going to continue to do that. We're not changing the Constitution in any way, shape, or form. We're just taking business advice.
Well, Congressman, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your transparency here. And we're going to look forward to following up with you as this very new way of looking at government spending. We're cutting. Wow. We've not had this discussion very much. We're excited to see where
it goes. It's a Christmas miracle.
Yes.
True. Thank you, Congressman. We'll talk to you
again. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Take care. A quick break. When we come back, let's get to the poll question, have a little discussion about this. The question we're asking you on the Annie Fry YouTube channel is, who should be deported? It's a big conversation. Just to sidestep that a little bit, and this was something that Donald Trump talked about in the Meet the Press interview with Kristen Welker. You know, when people talk about who should be pardoned with the January 6th situation, there's like, everybody should just pardon everybody. If you were there, you're pardoned. You got away with whatever you did. If you were good, you'll get bad, whatever. Lump, pardon, moving on. Other people think you should do it surgically, look at each individual case. And other people think nobody should be pardoned. If you were there and you got in trouble, you got in trouble. On a much even more broad scale with the immigration situation in our country and the encouragement of so many people to come here. Remember when Joe Biden said in the debate, didn't he say, come? Didn't he tell people to come across the southern border when he was trying to become the president in 2020? The policy of the Biden administration has encouraged people to flood across our southern border. Does that matter? Maybe it does to you. Maybe it doesn't to you. Who should be deported? On the Annie Fry YouTube channel, in the live chat of our current live broadcast, which you'll see if you pull up the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can answer every illegal immigrant. Get them out of here. If you're here illegally, you're gone. Doesn't matter your age, how long you've been here. If you came here illegally, you're gone. That's option number one. We have criminals. And I have in parentheses there something to the effect of other than illegal entry, because I know and I am of the mind that if you broke the law to come here, that is a criminal act. But there are people who came here who have been a contributing member of society since they've been here. They've paid taxes. That is the crime that they committed. I'm talking about those who have committed crimes other than the act of coming here illegally. It's the best. I thought about it for a long time. It's the best way I could sum it up. The third choice is your more recent immigrants. I didn't define what that time of recent is. It's up to you to determine what it is. Vote for that and leave a comment if you think that people who have come here more recently are those that we should deport. And the last one is you don't think that anyone should be deported. Leave them alone. America is for everybody. Annie Fry YouTube channel, come vote. We have 342 votes on the poll so far, which is pretty impressive, halfway through the show. But we need you to have your voice heard. Get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. We'll have that discussion with the crew when we come back. Don't go away.
I've done my exes, but he act like such a man, so I see nothing bad